Chapter 5.
What did I tell you?
Mom asked at dinner, the night of her first radiation treatment. She had left her job at Little Learning Spot Daycare early for her appointment, and she came home at her usual time as if nothing happened. I don't care what they say. I'm going to work right through this thing, she declared, putting her hands on her hips proudly. Her voice was strong and slightly louder than usual as she gave Nevaeh and Christian hugs at the dinner table. Nevaeh noticed Mom hadn't eaten much and she fell asleep early on the couch, but otherwise she seemed completely fine. Nevaeh went to bed feeling hopeful, but that changed 2 days later when Mom had her first round of chemotherapy. Nevaeh had just returned from a long run through the busy neighborhood when her parents skidded to a stop outside their townhouse.
Nevaeh, give me a hand,
Dad yelled, trying to help Mom out of the car. Nevaeh pocketed her phone and rushed to help. Her mother seemed like a different person than the one Nevaeh saw leave the house that morning. Her skin seemed washed out and slightly greenish, and she wobbled when she walked, just like the time she drank too much at a New Year's party years ago. Dad steadied her by the elbow and led her inside.
Mom!
Christian cried and raced toward her, but Nevaeh held him back.
It's okay,
Dad assured him, but his voice was tinged with worry.
We just need to get to the bathroom, he added,
steering Mom down the hallway as quickly as he could. He tried to close the door, but didn't make it as Mom sank to her knees and threw up loudly.
What's wrong with her?
Christian whimpered.
She's gonna be all right, Dad snapped. She just has nausea from the drugs they gave her. The doctor said it's normal. It'll settle down, he added before shutting the door.
I thought medicine was supposed to make you better,
Christian muttered.
It is.
But sometimes things get worse before they get better, Nevaeh explained, slipping her arm around his shoulder.
Come on, let's play Mario Kart,
she offered, trying to distract him. Mom went to bed early that night, and Dad stayed by her side. Nevaeh made canned soup and grilled cheese for dinner for her and Christian. In the heavy quiet, after everyone had gone to bed, Nevaeh lay sleepless, her phone in hand, swiping robotically through cancer survival stories, track videos, and funny animal clips, when Jonique posted a new video. This one showed her sprinting around Bluford's track at top speed, and then the camera cut to her feet, her sneakers charging out in front of her as first one foot and then the other sped across its red surface. When she slowed and stopped, the camera cut to her face.
That's how a real one gets it done. Ain't no camera effect, you know what I'm saying?
She threw her hands up like a taunt. Almost instantly, the post started getting likes and thumbs up. Then comments began to appear. That ain't no filter. More than just running shoe emoji, 3 lightning emojis.
Oh no, Nevaeh thought. Oh no, no.
It was bad enough that Jonique had disrespected her in school, but now she was taking it where everyone could see it 24/7. Nevaeh pictured her new followers seeing it too. Maybe she would lose them to Jonique as well. She read Jonique's post again. She had to respond. But how? Nevaeh imagined herself out on the track. She could put her phone on her selfie stick or maybe prop it up somewhere so she could record herself running. Or maybe just film her feet like Jonique's latest post. But that would be weak, and people would say she was copying. That was the last thing she wanted. She needed something fresh, something original, something. Her eyes tired and blurry, Nevaeh scrolled through social media searching for inspiration. She tried hashtag running, and that led to hashtag girls who run, which led to hashtag
Girls on the Run, but still nothing clicked. As the moon outside began to set, Nevaeh swiped through an endless sea of images, videos, and how-to posts from influencer athletes until her mind grew foggy and her head drooped, and she was on the track again. Jonique was right in front of her, almost side by side. But instead of gaining, Nevaeh was losing ground. Jonique was pulling away from her. The crowd seemed to cheer, and then Nevaeh saw something else on the track with her. A figure, dark and foreboding. Its feet pounded with each step. It was gaining on her, closing distance. She turned to see a face sickly and diseased. It was stalking her with each pounding step. It reached out a withered hand and tugged at her arm, trying to take her down. No! Nevaeh wrenched free and opened her eyes. Dad was at her side.
Are you awake? He said. I kept knocking on your door, but you were zonked out.
I'm up, she said, rubbing the spot on her arm where she had been grabbed in her dream.
Good. Your mom is sleeping in. I gotta go to work. I'm trying to get extra hours this week to make up for lost time for all the treatments coming up.
Can you check on her every hour or so?
She was planning to work today, but that's not happening.
He sighed.
Doc says she might not be feeling good for a few days. And then there's another treatment Thursday, so we just gotta be patient and see how all this plays out.
Nevaeh remembered her dream and the awful sentence that had been haunting her since the day she read it. Most pancreatic cancer patients live less than a year. Nevaeh tried to shake the grim words out of her head, careful not to say anything to Dad. He eyed her for a few long seconds before patting her on the shoulder.
I gotta go. You'll look after them both, right?
He swallowed hard, then continued.
It's gonna be hard, Nevaeh. I'm not gonna lie. We gotta keep her spirits up. Maybe when she's feeling better, you can cheer her up a bit, okay?
How? How am I supposed to do that? Nevaeh wanted to say, but instead she nodded. Dad kissed her forehead and left. Mom stayed in bed until the early afternoon. Nevaeh checked on her constantly, pausing at the edge of the bedroom every half hour just to listen to her breathing. The last time Nevaeh checked, Mom had finally started to stir.
Can you get me some water and some toast?
She asked, her voice scratchy and hoarse from sleep. Nevaeh was happy Mom asked for food, but when she placed the plate in front of her, Mom turned her head away.
I can't yet, she muttered, waving her hand as if the toast somehow offended her.
Puffy dark circles hung under her eyes, and her skin seemed to have thinned somehow. But Nevaeh was happy to see her sipping water at least.
Keep up her spirits.
That's what Dad had suggested. Nevaeh tried to think of something happy to say, something that would bring a smile to her mother's weary face. But she couldn't think of a single thing, except,
Mom, how do I get to be a fast runner?
Fast enough to... Nevaeh paused. She didn't want to tell her mother about Jonique's challenge or bring up the social media drama. That might make Mom take her phone away.
Maybe try out for the Bluford track team, she finished in a hot rush of words.
Mom's brow wrinkled as if Nevaeh had asked if she could race to the moon with only a pair of sneakers. But then her eyes widened and a smile lit up her face.
That all depends, she said,
sitting up and motioning for Nevaeh to join her on the bed.
How hard are you willing to work?
Nevaeh thought about Jonique's taunts.
I'm serious, Mom.
Mom grabbed Nevaeh's hand and beamed.
Okay. Then you need to train. Just about every day.
My secret was Baldwin Hill. Remember we used to go there when Christian was little?
Nevaeh recalled the steep, dusty hill that rose up and cut through the city several miles away. When Christian was still a toddler, Mom would sometimes take them there, and she would jog with him in a stroller, pushing him up the dusty trails that snaked through the sun-baked high ground. Nevaeh remembered the visitor center where they used to get ice cream when Mom finished her workouts. It seemed like a lifetime ago. When I was in high school, Coach Smalley had us run the trail up that hill twice each week. It was more cross-country than track, but it gave us an edge. Where other schools were training on flat ground, we got stronger running uphill. I probably ran 500 miles up and down Baldwin Hill back in the day, Mom explained, smiling at memories Nevaeh could not see. I remember that feeling when we were running back down, going so fast, it was like we were flying. Wish I could do that now. Maybe you can fly for me, Mom added, taking a sip of water and leaning back into her mattress. I'm sorry, but that treatment really wore me out. I think I'm going to lie down again, honey. Nevaeh helped arrange Mom's pillows and pull the blanket around her. Then she kissed her mother's cheek and left the bedroom. That night, unable to sleep, Nevaeh figured out how to respond to Jonique's post. The many hearts and comments told her that people were following the challenge. She knew some were waiting for her to respond. Baldwin Hill would be her answer. When morning came, Nevaeh found a pair of loose shorts and a tank top that would be good for a morning run. She tied her shoelaces tightly and headed for the kitchen. Dad was already at the table with his head propped on his hands and his phone pressed against his ear. "You don't understand," Dad spoke in a low and calm voice, but Nevaeh noticed his foot shaking the way it did whenever he got stressed. "She might not be well enough to come back to the daycare for a while." The caller must have said something positive because he nodded and grunted a few times. "Thank you, Stephanie," he said finally. "And please thank Tara for being willing to work Amaya's shifts this summer," he added before hanging up, seeming both exhausted and relieved. Nevaeh noticed he was surrounded by stacks of papers, a patient's rights booklet from the hospital, and a bag containing several brown pill bottles, which he pushed aside when their eyes met. "Why are you up so early?" "I'm going to run up Baldwin Hill before it gets hot," Nevaeh said, grabbing a bottle of water from the refrigerator. "Baldwin Hill?" "Yeah. Mom says she used to run there to train," Nevaeh said. "I'm training now, so I want to check it out." "How's Mom doing?" Dad glanced at the stack of papers and the pill bottles and shrugged his shoulders. For a second, he almost seemed lost. "She was better without the chemo, that's for sure," he admitted finally, taking a deep breath. "Your mom chose to be aggressive with her cancer treatments, and the doctors agreed, so this is what we get. She's gonna feel pretty lousy for a while." Dad's phone began to vibrate with an incoming call. He glanced at it quickly. "It's one of Mom's docs. I gotta take this," he blurted. Nevaeh waved and left. The noisy bus ride to Baldwin Hill Park took 20 minutes, but when Nevaeh stepped off the bus, she felt as if she had wandered onto a whole new planet. The grid of highways with low-slung shopping plazas, fast food restaurants, and dollar stores had given way to a rocky cluster of low hills that rose above the city. Like something Christian might build in Minecraft, the high ground was bordered by an area of shrubs, scraggly trees, and rocks that obscured the view of the surrounding neighborhoods. Pathways and trails snaked upward at different points toward the summit. Nevaeh stared up at the peak. It was craggy and steep, and she was surprised to feel excitement thrumming in her chest at the thought of telling Mom about how she had conquered it. Maybe it would make her smile and feel a little better,
Nevaeh hoped. Nevaeh fished her phone out of her pocket. Her reply to Jonique's post required her phone's camera and stopwatch. She quickly recorded the path entrance, then pointed the camera so the summit was visible. She would aim the phone at her feet as she ran up the hill. At the top, she'd switch to the stopwatch and record her time. Maybe she would say something too, with the city in the distance behind her. Would that be real enough? It better be, she figured, hitting record on her phone. Okay, she said aloud, dropping her usual classy K voice and speaking naturally. Baldwin Hill's about to go down. Then she started the timer and launched up the trail, holding her phone in her palm to record her feet. For the first few yards, the trail was packed hard, and it was easy to run fast. But as the path climbed, the ground became soft and unsteady beneath her feet, sapping her power and making her run harder. The sun blasted down on her arms and face, and sweat made her tank top cling to her back. Nevaeh leaned into the incline, feeling the strain in her quads and hamstrings without slowing her pace. It felt good to be moving again, letting her body, not her mind, take control. Nevaeh surrendered to it and let her legs lead the way. The path curved into a switchback and then ascended again. Nevaeh powered forward and upward, the toes of her shoes landing 1-2, 1-2 in the brown earth. Her legs were still willing, so she maintained her pace, though her heart was hammering, and she could hear the whooshing of her breath with each step. Nevaeh had seen no one on the path as she raced upwards, but suddenly, as she rounded the switchback, a man appeared ahead of her. Unwilling to stop or lose time, Nevaeh shifted to one side and darted past the hunched figure, toiling slowly up the steep hill. A charcoal hoodie hid his face. "Hey!" he cried and stumbled as Nevaeh raced by. "Sorry!" Nevaeh yelled, pushing herself harder. The summit was in sight. Nevaeh lifted her head and squinted against the sweat that stung her eyes and blurred her vision. Her muscles were beginning to ache, and her breath could not come quick enough. But still, she forced herself up the hill as fast as she could, maybe as fast as Mom had run it all those years ago. And then, right when she thought her heart might explode with the effort of the climb, the ground leveled beneath her feet. She flipped her phone up, stopping the timer and the camera. She slowed to a walk and shook out her legs, which burned from exertion. Sweat dripped down her face, but Nevaeh ignored it, closing her eyes and bringing her breath back under control. Finally, she glanced at the time. 10:48. Nevaeh imagined her mother, years younger, standing in the same spot. "Hey!" someone shouted, shattering her thought. The man she had passed on the trail suddenly came huffing up the summit. "You almost knocked me over!" Nevaeh jumped, ready to call 911 or bolt back down the hill if he were to come closer. But then, the man pulled down his hood, and Kareem Burnett stood in front of her. Sweat trickled down his forehead, and a huge smile stretched across his face. "Kareem, sorry I didn't recognize you." "That's 'cause you were running too fast," he laughed, resting his hands on his hips in exhaustion. "You ran up that hill like a mountain lion. For a second, I thought you were going to knock me over and I'd roll all the way back down." He slipped a small backpack off his shoulder and pulled out two water bottles. He handed one to her and took a gulp from the other. "I'm really sorry. I was just so focused on training," she explained, thanking him for the water. She was unsure whether to mention Jonique or that she had recorded the run. "It's all good. I'm glad to see you out here training. I can't wait to watch a rematch." He pulled out his phone and his fingers flashed across the screen. In a second, Nevaeh caught a quick glance of the video of her racing Jonique on the school track.
You need to beat her. I can't stand that girl.
He paused to gulp more water. Nevaeh smiled at his comment and took a quick drink. She wondered how many other people at Bluford felt the same way.
What are you even doing out here? She asked. This is like the middle of nowhere.
Kareem grinned.
Nah, this hill's my secret.
Actually, it's where the cross-country team practices sometimes. I've been coming here for months to train for football. If I make wide receiver, running here will be one reason why.
You'd be surprised what carrying some water bottles up this hill 10 times will do to you.
Nevaeh nodded and smiled. She had noticed he had become more chiseled and cut during the school year. She could see it now as she glanced at his chest and felt herself blush awkwardly. He pointed to the phone still in her hand.
Hey, were you recording a video?
Wait, were you about to clap back at Jonique?
Maybe, she replied coyly.
For real? Ooh, he cheered, leaning in closer to her phone.
Let me see.
Nevaeh hesitated.
What if it's stupid? She thought.
I'm not sure.
Come on, Nevaeh. Somebody needs to answer that girl's nonsense.
Kareem insisted.
That girl needs a lesson. You look like the person who could teach her.
I didn't make a lesson, Nevaeh explained. I just recorded my run.
Let me see.
Reluctantly, Nevaeh unlocked her phone. The rocky brown landscape of Baldwin Hill filled the small screen and began to zoom past. Then Nevaeh's feet appeared. They zipped over the ground, leaping over rocks and devouring the steep trail in long strides. Nevaeh's breathing and the whoosh of the air moving past was the only sound until she nearly collided with Kareem before dashing past. His muffled voice shouted, "Hey!" in the distance.
"Whoa!"
Kareem said, glancing at her in awe.
"I knew you were fast, but this clip is fire. You crushed that hill, and you make it look easy."
"You think so?"
"They'll probably think I sped it up, or faked it, or what if I prove you didn't? I can be your witness," he suggested,
his eyes sincere and warm.
"Can I see your phone?"
he asked, holding his hand out. She handed it to him and watched as Kareem stretched out his long arm so that Nevaeh and the distant skyline were included in the frame. Then he hit record.
"Y'all, it's Kareem the Dream, and let me tell you, Nevaeh just killed that hill."
He shook a finger at the camera.
"All I gotta say is some people need to look out. She's gonna give him a run for that money. Peace."
He stopped the recording and handed her phone back.
"How's that?"
Nevaeh smiled and shrugged, unsure whether to hit post.
"I know one person who's not gonna like it," she admitted, picturing Jonique's face.
"True," he said, zipping up his backpack and gazing at the city below them.
"But what would really upset her is if you win. I'd pay to see that."
"If I win," he smiled.
"When you win, I mean."
"That's better," she smiled shyly.
"You know I'm gonna be there rooting for you," he added.
"Wouldn't miss it." Nevaeh's smile widened. Sparks of excitement danced invisibly in the air.
"Race you back down?"
she asked, taking off before he could reply.